1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know whether you are feeling the way that I'm feeling today, but I'm seeing too much information on whatever it is our military's doing in Afghanistan. I wish they'd just chill out. I don't need to see the computer-enhanced graphics of the choppers going in. And you know how they said, could you guys maybe not show so much of the bin Laden video because he may be sending coded messages? Who knows if that's true or not? But these guys are going to be going in with helicopters and commando squads, and enough already with the information. I don't need it right now. I'd like them to just quietly go about their business. I'm looking at 5,000 Pakistanis going ape, looking at a few Palestinians going nuts. This propaganda war that is being waged now by the Taliban, because I know I'm alone, and I'm probably a guy that shouldn't be saying a lot of the things that he says, because I'm just one more schmuck sitting out here with not a whole lot of brains. But it seems to me that these guys, as I've always felt since September the 11th, these guys have got more hot air than anything else. And you can ask me why I feel that way, and I've explained it down through the weeks, but it just seems like they're running their yaps, and that seems to be the main weapon they've got. And recently, what did they just say? They're going to more hijackings. This was the latest news that we got from this guy, right? And I was listening to Bill Handel panicking this morning. I was listening to Bill Handel doing a show this morning, and he was all freaked out by what these guys said, which was something along the lines of, we've got millions of young guys that are willing to die, and they're craving death as much as Americans crave life. It's a lot of talk. Now, why would you talk when you can act? Why would you be, prosecuting this propaganda war when you could just go out and hijack a whole bunch of more airplanes? Why would you be threatening death and threatening Islamic revolution when for an entire month after September the 11th, we didn't hear a peep out of these cats? They didn't open their mouth. You could hear a mouse fart for thousands of miles from the silence that was coming out of these Al-Qaeda dudes. Now, all of a sudden, they got opinions about everything, and they're going to be sending airplanes, and they didn't do the one on September the 11th, but just so you know, we didn't do that job, but there's a whole lot of other guys that are going to do the job. You know, this is all what we call waging the propaganda war. And why are they doing it? Very simply, they want to get enough people going ape in Pakistan, enough guys with towels on their heads to go nuts in Palestine, and wherever else there's a lot of very poor, undereducated, hungry, angry young people looking for somebody to be angry at, they will exploit that, and they will try to turn that to their advantage insofar as destabilizing the government of Pakistan or trying to make life harder for Yasser Arafat or making life more difficult for American diplomats negotiating with Middle Eastern countries, because there really isn't a concerted plan in place other than a lot of committed holy warriors to do damage to America. There's just a lot of threats, and there was a, albeit extremely devastating, attack in New York and in Washington. But other than that, what do we got going on here? We got a lot of scared Americans, and we've got a lot of loud Al-Qaeda guys. That's what I'm hearing. And, oh yeah, we've got a lot of American bombing runs going on in Afghanistan. And as of today, CNN is telling us now where the ground guys are going to go in, which, by the way, a massive assault of ground troops, in this guy's opinion right here, just Hendry, just know-nothing me, sounds like a dumb thing to do from the standpoint that, yes, the Soviets did it, and B, this would be a massive ground assault by American troops, no Muslim troops. So this is another aspect of the propaganda, whether those Taliban cats could win, by saying, look, the infidel is on our land again. And not only that, they may be killing civilians. And so they ratchet that whole rhetoric thing up. So they got a lot of guys burning people in effigy, and they're setting fire to something. I saw something on TV today. They were burning something. I don't know what it was, but they were, like, hopping around what looked like burning dog crap, and they were happy. They set fire to a fertilizer truck or something. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you stop down and you get out of your fear a little bit, you may see what I'm seeing, which is lots of talk. Now, here's the facts. Adolf Hitler said, today Germany, tomorrow the world. That was the rousing speech that he gave. He had guys goose-stepping on the movie theater screen. He had big swastikas. They had some scary-looking dudes. Today, Germany, tomorrow, the world. Those goose-stepping Nazis were enough to put the fear of Jesus into you, right? And then along came the communists. And what did they say? Worldwide revolution, a socialist revolution that will sweep the globe and America will be alone. America will have to turn itself into a fortress. And even then, we will infiltrate your labor unions and America will become a part of the worldwide global communist, communal, Lenin, Marxist, workers' revolution. And there's nothing you can do about it. And as we looked around us, it sure looked like the whole world was going that way, as one country after the next was adhering to a Marxist-Leninist principle, and America was trying to do whatever we did, that Cold War trip, which was... I mean, we did a lot of panicking back then. We found out after the Cold War ended and the Berlin Wall fell that the CIA overestimated the Soviet Union's capability in terms of military strike, overestimated its ability to propagandize the rest of the world. But we were freaking out. Now, what do we got today? Well, this is another in a long line of cats telling America, guess what? There's going to be a worldwide Islamic revolution and a whole thing. And after a while, you got to say, we got a little bit of experience with this, don't we? We got a little bit of experience listening to these hotheads talking about how they're going to mess us up. So they talk about how they're going to mess us up in some instances. Yeah, they pack a pretty good punch. But when all is said and done, it's a lot of scared soldiers sitting in those trenches. The Germans had kids the age of 12 and 13 at the end of the war coming out of the trenches with their arms raised. The communists, at the end of the Cold War, 1989, 1990, what did we have? They basically had a society in disarray. And something tells me that when all is said and done, you're going to have a lot of scared young kids crawling out of holes in the ground at the end of this one, kissing the hands and saying, hey, whatever, you know, man, look at all I want to do is listen to that new Pulse disc, that new Pulse dance CD. A lot of what's going on is the fact they just don't dig the way we live. Forget about whether you think they want a homeland from, which is another very interesting thing. Now all of a sudden they're telling us what they'd like us to do. I remember my wife saying to me a couple of days after New York and Washington, she said, what is it that they want? I said, all they want to do is kill us. That's what, well, they must have some demand. No, they got no demands. They just want to kill us. They just want our country to go away. They want our society, our way of life, everything to go away. And for a solid month, we didn't hear a peep out of them. And it was, you know, Bin Laden, he denied any involvement with what happened on the attacks on September the 11th. Now, after we drop a couple of bombs, send in a few cruise missiles, now they got all kinds of opinions. Well, we want Palestine free and we want this. And if you do that, then we won't threaten you anymore. Oh, you're telling us that now? Oh, did you just think of that? Something tells me you whipped out your manual and looked under bullcrap, B for bullcrap. Oh, yeah, now you want us to kind of... Who are you cats kidding? You got nothing, man. You got a lot of angry people, and you got a few, and I say a few, by that I mean probably a few thousand committed jihad crew members. But we've heard it before. It was today, Germany, tomorrow, the world. It was the worldwide socialist revolution, and now it's the worldwide Islamic revolution. And all of those were supposed to swallow up America, and this one's supposed to swallow up America. And they had a lot of goose-steppers, and they had a lot of little cats wearing, you know, dudes running barefoot through the jungles of Vietnam. Now they got these guys with the turbans, and they got Stinger missiles. We've seen it before. We've lived it before. We've been threatened before. And why? Man, they just don't dig the fact that we live so good. And yes, they have a couple of very valid points with regard to our diplomacy historically being hypocritical. It is. Because I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm looking at a lot of Americans all of a sudden all fired concerned about the Taliban women and the poor people of Afghanistan. 2 months ago, man, you couldn't find Afghanistan on a map. Now, all of a sudden, we care about the freedom of the Afghanistan people. We want to make them our friends, and we want to drop them, give them food. For people to really believe us and buy what it is we're saying, I think we got to kind of kick in before we get a building knocked down and a whole lot of people killed. But be that as it may, the country's at war. And we've been at war before, and when we have been at war before, we've heard the same thing over and over again. We're going to destroy you. We're going to destroy your way of life. We're going to make your mothers wish they never met your daddies. We're going to make your daddies wish they never met your mommies. We're going to make you wish that you never met either one of them. 1-800-449-8686. Now, let's forget about that bullcrap for a minute. My very good friend Craig Taylor, who is a big believer in hemp, I don't know why, I just saw where the Senate is dragging its rear end on Arctic oil drilling. Remember when we were talking about that? To try to get us the hell out of the Middle East, once and for all, please, God, get us out of there. Now I got a couple of things here off the Internet. Very interesting. The hemp car. You can power your car on pot. And I ain't kidding either. Listen to this. There's enough alcohol in 1 year's yield of an acre of potatoes to drive the machinery necessary to cultivate the fields for 100 years. Who do you think said that? You got it. Osama bin Laden. No, he didn't. Henry Ford. Put hemp in your tank. While George Bush Sr. didn't face the same sort of energy crisis that George Bush Jr. now faces, he did more than rattle sabers on the pretext of stopping one. The Gulf War, so preached by pundits galore, was all about oil. Got to keep the lifeblood of America flowing, right? Sort of. Before smart bombing the daylights out of Iraq, Bush had a smart plan to wean America off of oil, at least partially. On June 12, 89, he self-proclaimed environmental president unveiled a plan to cut down on air pollution caused by petrol fuels. Somewhere along the line in this article, it's going to tell me that he wanted to put together a hemp car. Is that it? I can't read the whole thing. But let's just say George Bush Sr. wanted to grow pot so we could put it into our cars. Can you imagine? Not into your lungs, into your cars. That's an alternative form of energy. What is going on with a country that can't seem to pull it together when it comes to getting us off of that Mideast oil, get us out of there, and get us back home, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the home of the good dope? America. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, check this out. This is Grayson and Kelly Sigler. They're currently traveling across North America in a donated white 1983 diesel wagon. They started in Washington, D.C. on July 4th. They will return October 2nd. And in the end, they will have traveled 10,000 miles, and every one of those on hemp oil instead of diesel fuel. Hemp oil? Now, Mike Schaefer, our producer, made a very good point. He said, you'd figure a country that could come up with a seedless watermelon can come up with some kind of juice we can stick in our car besides the juice we're buying from the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the UAR and all of these guys that couldn't care whether we lived or died. Tell me it wouldn't feel good. Let's just for one moment fantasize. All of a sudden, we don't buy our oil from them, and they're over there crying poor, please, please buy. No, I'm sorry, we're not going to do it. Please. We won't have any more jihad stuff. Bullcrap. Come on, man. No, we're not buying your oil, and that's it. Well, that's not right, and you don't even have any embassies over here for us to burn. Yeah, it looks like we don't really need you guys. Well, we have a couple of consulates, because I hear the surfing down there is pretty good. Why won't you buy our oil? You know why we won't buy your stinking oil. We got I don't know how many Americans laying dead in the sand down there, and a lot of other people, too. Palestinian, Jew, Arab. No. We'll sell it to you cheap. No. We don't want it. We don't have anything to do with you anymore. Goodbye. We got one aircraft carrier parked off the coast of Israel and maybe Lebanon if they pull their act together down there, and the rest of you guys can go pound sand, and there's plenty of it to pound. All right, let me go over here to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I was just calling to, I'm surprisingly agreeing with most of what you're saying, but you said that we didn't become involved in Afghanistan with the food or other humanitarian, but that's not true. We were their largest provider of aid prior to this event.
Well, how many Americans knew that, though?
A year.
How many Americans knew that?
How many
Americans could have cared whether the Afghanistanis lived, died, were upside down, anything?
Well, I would guess that a lot of the Muslim community would certainly care.
I don't know. It depends on how they're being propagandized over there. But just for a moment, let's talk about Americans.
Oh, I'm talking about America. Well, I'm talking about,
I don't know
about
how many Americans knew that we were involved in Afghanistan. And I'm going to make a bet. Had we known, the mass of Americans known, that we were providing that kind of aid, they probably would have cried about how it's too much foreign aid and why don't we spend it back here at home. That's the way a lot of Americans are when it comes to that foreign aid thing.
Well, I agree, and that's not a bad point. I mean, why should we, when they are constantly threatening us with terrorism, we've been asking for bin Laden for over 8 years, and don't even start on Clinton's inability to...
Well, at least he took a shot with it. He took a shot. Let's not get
you
down on Clinton.
You've got the greatest military, and you take a shot?
Well, hold on for a minute. What exactly did Reagan do? I mean, please.
He wasn't a threat during Reagan's
time. Oh, it wasn't a threat? All they did was murder, I don't know how many Marines in Beirut.
Osama bin Laden was not a threat.
Oh, I see. But all those other terrorists, we just let them butcher up a bunch of Marines in a barracks in Beirut. That's okay.
I think special ops went after a lot of those.
Special ops? Well, you know what? During the Clinton years, we had a special op going after bin Laden. In fact, they got closer than anybody has.
But they didn't get him, and Clinton had a shot at him in December before he left office, and he has admitted.
All right, they didn't get him. All right, now, let's see. How fast do you think we ought to be able to get this guy? In other words, as the years go by and we aren't able to get bin Laden under Bush, what should I do? Find fault with President Bush?
Bush is going to get him.
Oh, Bush is going to get him. Elizabeth, I hope you're right. But you know what? It's not important, according to President Bush's press secretary, to get bin Laden. That isn't even their main priority. Their priority is to disrupt the terrorist network, Al-Qaeda and others, from doing their business.
Agree. Because if we just got bin Laden, that wouldn't be enough.
Oh, so now you don't need to get bin Laden. I'm just trying to follow you here. We do need to get him.
You need to listen. I said we need to get him.
No, you just said we don't need to get him.
I said that's not our highest priority. That's not all we need to do. It's not just a matter of killing him.
But we got to get him. Because according to the president, we don't have to get him.
That's not what the president said. The president said he wanted him dead or alive.
No, he didn't. You didn't hear what the president said. The president said, I've seen posters that say wanted dead or alive when I was a kid. What we want is justice. That was the complete statement that the president made. But, of course, the press picked up on the dead or alive thing because it's sexy and it's John Wayne.
Well, the president does want to get bin Laden. There is an executive order that hamstrings him from actually just murdering him if he's considered a foreign leader. So that
hamstrings him. Like we wouldn't kill him if we saw him someplace. We'd really be hamstrung.
Clinton told his guys not to do it.
Clinton went after him.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
really
he did.
Him.
They had special ops that they had. They had Afghan anti-Taliban resistance fighters that fired on his convoy with missiles.
Right, and they missed him that time. They missed him when they hit
That hardly says that Clinton wasn't going for him. He might have missed him, but didn't mean he didn't want to get him.
He didn't try hard enough. You missed him.
He didn't try hard enough. Are you listening to yourself, Elizabeth? He didn't try hard enough. And Bush is going to get him, even though he said he doesn't really necessarily have to get him. Listen to what you're telling me. You're trying so hard to toe the Republican line here, you just don't want to have a conversation with me.
What are you talking about?
That's what you're doing. You're towing your little conservative George Bush support. Look, I support the president. I'm a Democrat. Why can't you just open your mind a little bit and forget about Clinton bashing, which is the lamest thing we can engage in right now?
Okay,
let's talk about how our country can affect. What you're doing is now you're blaming Clinton? Get out of here.
Oh, no. I'm not. Well, I am blaming Clinton to an extent. I'm not blaming him for what happened to
I blame the American people for not being vigilant enough to know what was going on in Afghanistan.
Well, I agree.
I blame the American people, Republican and Democrat, for being hypocritical in their approach to democracy. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in democracy?
Yes.
You do? Do you think it's great?
Do I think it's great? I think the representative democracy we have here is great.
You really do?
Of course I do.
Democratically elected government, you think that's a good thing?
I think, well, two things. I don't know if it's perfect.
Or does it have to be the kind that you like? Because, you know,
I don't think democracy is perfect, but I think it's the best anyone can
do. If they had public elections in Egypt today, they would elect an Islamic republic. Would that be all right with you?
Probably, if they didn't support and harbor terrorists.
Well, they will support and harbor terrorists.
Well,
and they will be.
Okay.
Then it's not okay. So democracy is only okay if they elect a government that we like.
That's not true. I think every country has a government it deserves.
No. What if they elected a government, freely elected government, that didn't like us?
A freely elected... Well, that's fine, but there's lots... The French don't even really like us.
Okay. All right, Liz, you're good. I like you. Thanks for calling.
Thank
I gotta
you.
Go, kid. You dirty... No, I'm kidding, Elizabeth. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. She kicked my ass.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for Looking on the Bright Side with Colleen Kristen Brewster, owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. And Colleen joins us from her office in Laguna Beach, California. All I got was a fax here, Colleen, about a seminar that you are going to be sponsoring the weekend of the 26th. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil. We are sponsoring On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster. Is sponsoring a women's retreat and seminar Friday the 26th, 27th, and 28th in the Palm Springs area. And it's a difficult time for all of us. And this is a really, really difficult thing that we're trying to put together. But I think it's time for all American women, especially. Men, yes. But I think it's time for all American women, too. We really need to embrace the possibility, Phil, and I'm just saying the possibility, that for whatever reason we could lose this war with the Taliban, and there will be some decisions for American women to make. Now,
we could lose this war with the Taliban. I'm following. We could lose this war with the Taliban, and there's decisions for American women to make.
Yes, and I don't mean to scare anybody, but I think there are a lot of American women who need information. This will be an information-based seminar, the 26th, 27th, and 28th. We will give out a phone number.
Well, before we give out phone numbers, first of all, the possibility of losing the war with the Taliban means what? You're talking about women.
I really, really am, Phil, and I think that we need to, as American women, be forewarned. Forewarned is forearmed. What will it be like under an Islamic regime? What kind of clothes will we be required?
Well, wait, this is fatalistic and defeatist talk. I mean,
Phil, I believe we still have a constitution which allows me the freedom of speech, and I'd like to continue with what I'm saying.
But this is defeatist talk. You're talking about women preparing to, you hear what I'm saying?
Phil, we cannot refuse to accept the situation. The Russians were defeated by these people. The British were defeated by these people. If the Islamic regime of the Taliban is able to somehow effect an Islamic regime in America, American women need to know what's expected of them.
I think it's extremely defeatist.
I think it's extremely realistic. And I know there are a lot of women out there that understand what I'm talking about. So if you could get your male ego out of the way for a moment so that I can help the thousands of American women listening to you prepare themselves for living under an Islamic regime.
Get my male ego out of the way.
Could I just finish? Because you invited me on your show. I did not call you.
We had a fax.
You invited me. I did not call you.
You are going to be having a seminar in Palm Springs on how American women can accept, what is it?
Training women to adapt to the Islamic lifestyle and the expectation of women under the Islam government.
I just don't know how you can think that way.
Phil, we can't refuse to accept the situation. I am trying to get women ready so we don't start filling body bags. And it's really, really scary for me.
Filling body bags.
That's right. We have to do so many things, Phil. There's a checklist here.
All right, what are the things now you're saying that American women, if we lose and we become an Islamic regime, what are the things they got to do?
First of all, we need to get women used to the idea of sharing men. I have a lot of lesbian friends. That is going to obviously be something that is prohibited by the Taliban's. Training with the burqa, the long shroud-like gown, deference to men. So the toughest part is going to be getting women ready for the mindset. This is really difficult for me.
So then why even talk about this? Why even accept the possibility of... You've got American women out there. You want them to come to some seminar so they can get ready to learn how to share men, wear a burqa, be deferential to men. And what is this about taking the occasional beating from a man or a rock to the head?
That is the reality. And as American women, we are tough women, and we can adapt to a lot.
Well, you want women to get used to getting beaten by men?
That's what the Islams will want. We need to get along to get along. Have you ever heard that phrase, Phil? Have you ever heard...
Yeah, I've heard the get along to get along. So women in America...
Yes. It is a sad reality. I'm simply saying to all of my sisters out there, there is a way that we can survive under an Islamic regime. And if America loses this war, and God, I hope we don't, but if we do, we need to start thinking about how we can adapt. I'm not saying you'll get beaten, but beatings are legal under the Islams.
And so get ready to take a beating from your husband.
Oh, what? We're not supposed to? We're supposed to go to jail? Are you going to go to jail?
I'm not even considering the possibility of my wife taking a beating from me.
Well, if the Islamic regime takes over, you will be expected to beat your wife and to give her an occasional cane to the ass. And I'm sorry to put it...
I will do no such thing, okay? I will run. I will not live here. I will fight.
Get you. John Wayne, huh?
What do you mean, John Wayne? You're sitting here getting women ready to be, to accept...
An Islamic regime. That's right, Phil. Are you saying that there's no way we could lose?
I'm saying that if, as a country, we stick to it and we
Are you saying there's no way we could lose?
I'm not saying there's no way.
Then we have to start drafting this letter to the Taliban leadership, which I have sent your fax on, and we will discuss at our women conference. Now, first of all, we want to get the Taliban leadership. We need to ask guidance in the event that America loses. We want to know just exactly how they want us dressed. What they want.
So, in other words, you're just going to bend right over and wait for the cane even before they apply it. I mean, to me, this is defeatist thinking.
You may call it defeatist. I call it realistic. The men in this country, Phil, I don't know, I've slept with a lot of them, and they just don't seem to have what it...
Yeah, you don't have any faith. It's not anything about the men in this country being soldiers.
We just need to learn... In the event we lose this war, to be good and humble hosts to our new leadership, the Taliban men, show them that we are submissive. Yes, show them how good we are in bed. Show them how good we can be in bed. Just in case.
Just in case.
Yes.
That we lose.
Yes. Well, Mr. Talk Show Host?
Well, yeah, I'm the talk show host. I can't believe what I'm hearing. On the weekend of the 26th, you and a bunch of women will go out. Have you got a phone number?
We do have a phone number I'll give later on in the program.
So that all the women listening right now, in the event that we lose to the Taliban and we become an Islamic regime, they can go out and learn how to take a cane to the ass and a rock to the head.
It's not all bad from what I've seen.
Oh, no, that escorted by a man after dark, that's pretty cool stuff. Let me give our phone number out here. It's 1-800-449-8686. Colleen Kristen Brewster from On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster. And in the press release, it says, American women need to learn to adapt to the Islamic lifestyle in the event that we lose this war. Bikinis and all traditional forms of dress are out. Lesbians, out. The burqa, in. You've got this whole, what is this?
In Entertainment Weekly when they have what's in, what's out. And so it's just a fun thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Out, bikini. In, the burqa. Out, flower. Look at this. Out, flowers and a walk on the beach. In, a cane to the ass and a rock to the head. Is that romantic?
I'm covering all the bases still. It's kind of fun the way we do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun there having that little Entertainment Weekly thing.
It's like the Jefferson Tea. What's good, what's bad. You know, I know you don't like me very much right now.
I don't like this defeatist talk. 1-800-449-8686. We are drafting a letter to the Taliban leadership asking guidance in the event that America loses to the Taliban and becomes an Islamic Republic. There are 150 million American women who will not know what to do. How to wear a burqa, how to not go out after dark, how to take the occasional beating. Oh, is this supposed to be funny? And how not to shave our upper lip. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Colleen Kristen Brewster is on the line with me. Yeah, and the name of this feature is Looking on the Bright Side. What is she? Hey, Colleen, I just got a question for you. How's this looking on the bright side?
What?
This whole thing, wait to get taken over by the Islams.
I think it's looking on the bright side to be ready. Ready, willing, and able to submit to whatever Mueller decides to drag you into a house.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I'm really, really cute, and I do have a really good body. I tried on a burqa the other day, Phil, that a friend of mine had brought back from the Middle East during Desert Storm. It really is kind of nice because men can't see your body, and they do not ogle you.
You're talking about wearing one of those Islamic burqas so that a man can't see your body. In the possible advent of an Islamic Republic, you want women to be prepared.
You know, for an intelligent man, you're really a little bit stupid. You don't get...
No, I hear what you're saying. You think America could get taken over by the Taliban, become an Islamic Republic, and then all our women are walking around wearing those shrouds. Here is Maria on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. I had to call.
First of all, I'm really cute. I've got a really good body, and I hate men staring at me.
Go ahead, Maria.
Okay. I had to call just because of the fact that when I first heard... I thought... I was in Israel. I didn't know where I was. And
Israel? They don't wear that stuff in Israel. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm sorry.
How stupid can you be?
Taliban. My first point is that I don't know if you had grandparents that are alive when you were born or what the deal was, but my grandfather didn't fight in World War II so that you could give up so easily. Second of all...
You have to accept the situation. It's possible that they may want to make you wear a scarf on your head.
Let me tell you something. First of all, I wasn't raised, and I listened to my grandfather's stories, and I wouldn't, by giving up so easily, I'd rather fight for the country, go to war, get drafted as a woman, and fight for this country.
But wait a minute.
Let me finish.
Girls can't fight. We don't even know how to make a fist.
Who doesn't? I take Taekwondo, girl, okay? And if you want to be any kind of woman, you better stand up for yourself. And let me tell you something else. One more thing. Let me finish what I'm saying. The other thing is, if I had daughters, I would not raise them to be like this.
That's the spirit, Maria.
You're going to lead this girl into a body bag, Phil.
No, I like listening to Maria. Gives me faith in our American women.
I know not one American woman that would do what you're saying to do. Let me tell you something.
But
I know one that would come to your thing and protest your thing.
That's what you ought to do. Go and protest outside the gates of it.
I'm not going to say.
I'll tell her. It's going to be in Palm Springs, and when we get the information, we'll announce it.
You're going to mess everything up. You're going to make everything bad.
Yeah, well, I'm going to mess you up.
Everything bad.
Have you ever worn a burqa?
No, here's the question. Do you have grandparents? Do you have a grandfather? Did you have a grandfather?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, yeah. What are you talking about?
Did you have a grandfather?
Did you have a grandfather?
Yeah.
Did he fight in World War II? Did he give his life? Did he almost give his life
for his country? If he did, he's not going to run around telling people about it.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Then you know what? You don't appreciate
Maria,
people.
If the Islams take over and they want us to wear burqas,
guess what? I'd rather die than give this country to them. My grandfather didn't die.
You're a girl. You can't fight. Girls can't fight.
Girl, I can
women
fight better
can
than
fight.
A man, let me tell you.
Women know how to fight.
But how? Would we slap them? What would we do?
How?
Carry
I
a gun.
I can use a gun.
You know that women...
I can use a gun.
The Israeli army has women in it, okay?
I didn't know about that.
You could pick up a gun.
I mean, you're going to let them take over this country?
Maria, you know as well as I do that when a man wants you, just bend over and spread and wait. It'll be over soon.
What kind of advice is that?
You know what, Phil? That's advice of someone who wants to be treated like that. That's all there is to it.
That's a coward. That's what that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. That is a coward.
Not
so you know what? I think something is wrong. I think something has happened to her to make her feel this way. Because I know not one woman, one girl, that would take this.
need to send a telegram to the Taliban and ask us exactly what kind of sexual positions they like, what kind of...
God almighty, listen to you, woman. Listen to you. Stand up like a human being for yourself, for your country. Wrap yourself in the red, white, and blue and have no fear.
Oh,
Bill, she's not an American. She is not an American.
She's full of fear.
If she had any American blood in her, she would fight for this country.
I have Mexican blood, too.
How do you know?
One night a Mexican asked me, do you have any Mexican in you? And I said, no. And he said, you do now. And I said,
well, isn't that funny?
What?
That's a crude joke.
I didn't know.
You know what?
You didn't know, yeah. All right, Maria, I got to run. I got to take another call, Maria, but I thank you for your call. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to just say that whoever this person is that you're talking to, if she thinks for 1 minute that American women are going to stand by and take it or be cane in the ass or whatever
Laura.
Insane.
Oh, you've been reading too many comic books. You know that the easiest thing we can do is submit.
I will never go out after dark. Never. I'd rather end up in a body bag.
First of all, the Islam say that we don't have to have jobs. We can stay home.
Who cares what they say?
That's good, though.
Why is that good?
Good for a woman that doesn't want to have a job. What about a woman that does want to have a job?
In time, she'll see it's for the best.
I own my own business, okay?
Me too.
And I can tell you right now, I will never, never submit.
The Islams will not want you to own your own business. They'll kill
Tough.
You. They'll kill you.
Well... then they'll kill me. But you know what? I'll take a few of them with me.
Learn how to take it on top, on bottom, on the knees. We have to save our country. What about our children?
On top, on the bottom, and on the knees. Well, all I can tell you, I hope there's a man in your life who will stand beside you when, somebody's trying to get you to take it on top, on bottom, or on the knees.
I can tell you this. My husband will stand with me.
My boyfriend works at the Four Seasons Hotel in Mexico, so he lives there.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't be here then, would he, when the Taliban takes us over?
Laura, in time you'll see that I'm right. Come to our seminar.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I don't even see why you're getting airtime.
Well, she sent me a...
Yeah, why are you giving me airtime, big boy?
Because you sent me the facts, so we called you up. Here is Marianne. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
I think you're doing a disservice to a lot of American women. We ought to get ready for the cane, and instead you're making us think...
Go ahead, Marianne.
Tell them to put the radio on.
Marianne, you need to talk to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Listen,
Marianne,
I'm really
have you ever been
outraged
with this,
that our forefathers died for us to live free or die. I don't know what kind of American will wait for enslavement... and then for you to call for the enslavement of your entire gender.
But wait a minute.
That's not America to me.
We could submit and then later on have a revolution.
Okay, you submit. In fact, you're so ready to submit. Why not pack your bags and head on over there right now?
Because I have a tour group going to Jamaica on the...
Okay, you had your time to talk. Yeah. I'm the caller. Okay? This is America. America to me is not enslavement. It's not... undignified. I don't know what kind of country you would like to live in. I would rather be dead.
I would rather take a cane to the ass.
Aren't you embarrassed to call yourself
absolutely. It's good to hear these good, strong women calling
in. I'd rather get paddled to get us all riled up to point fingers at people like you who are not